We have so many things to thank Big Sam for, I think, when it comes to his time at Limerick. But of course, he gave his former assistant Neil MacDonald the nod for the job more recently. Do you remember that, Andrew?
Yeah, and yeah.
It didn't go as well.
No, it didn't, unfortunately. But have you ever seen a manager win a league title by drawing 10 games?
Nope, and we will get into that.
Well.
Yeah, Neil MacDonald sacked at Swindon shortly after making that move to Limerick, and things got a bit rotten towards the end of his stint there, I seem to remember.
Yeah, I think that's putting it a bit lightly.
And what he tried to do, he tried to make Bastianieri a defensive midfielder.
Disgraceful carry on.
Just unforgiving.
It's horrific.
It's 1991. Limerick City are having to make do with life outside of the Markets Field, which they'd lost, I think, about 7 years or so earlier on. They've just been to a cup final, but they've lost it, and they've been relegated for the first time. Down on their luck, feeling pretty blue. Meanwhile, on the other side of the pond, Samuel Big Sam Allardyce has just started winding down his playing career as coach of West Brom Reserves, and then sort of part-time voluntary job as a coach at Bury. They couldn't afford to keep him on, unfortunately. Struggling to get a job, he's gone for a couple of interviews here and there. I think Doncaster turned him down, so also feeling a little bit down his luck and feeling blue. I kind of picture this a little bit like the film An American Tale, those cartoon mice singing somewhere out there, looking at the moon, singing, longing for each other. But Big Sam and Limerick did just that. They managed, thankfully, to be united when all of a sudden a strange foreign number rings Sam Allardyce. Of course, nowadays, Andrew, he would assume that's some sort of Singaporean scam, you know what I mean? One of them dodgy calls. You're like, I'm not answering this.
Not again.
Yeah, well, at the time, he did answer it. It was, in fact, the Limerick chairman, priest Father Joe Young, ringing it to offer him the job as Limerick player manager. And I tell you one thing about this call. Sam actually did think it was a prank. He answered the call, listened to a priest offer him a job in Ireland, which, to be fair, you can see why he would have thought sounds a bit fanciful. And his response, are you fucking with me, Reedy? He said that to a priest on the phone. He thought it was Peter Reed taking the piss out of him, which I thought was glorious. He ultimately, he did take that leap of faith asked by Father Joe Young, thankfully. So apparently, the connection, it took me ages to figure out the connection. So I was like, how has this guy ever heard of Sam Allardyce? Father Joe Young apparently did a lot of great work for a lot of the poor at Limerick at the time and was ultimately asked to step in when there was money troubles at Limerick and take over the running of the club. So he sounds like he's done a fair bit. He sounds like he was very in touch with the community. And I was wondering, how is this? What's the connection with Allardyce here? Apparently he was a West Brom fan. Brom fan and saw him play a bit or was aware of his time at West Brom was coming to an end. So when they gave him a list of contacts, he was like, this my man, this guy right here. I'm not sure if you've seen pictures of him in that time. Has a little touch of the Burt Reynolds about him. Now that's a bit generous to
Sam. He has a beautiful moustache.
Doesn't he? Yeah, well, Burt Reynolds is one of the, a bit Tom Selleck-like, a bit Burt Reynolds-like.
A bit like yourself.
Yeah, thank you very much. Right. Look, I'll take that. It's the nicest compliment I've ever been paid on this podcast. Yeah, so Big Sam, essentially, he takes the job. He you know, to be fair, I mean, at that time, it's a big leap of faith. He probably knew, I would say, practically nothing about the Irish League.
No, and yeah, so as even looking at the recent managers in England, or that Limerick have got from England the last few years, even look, Stuart Taylor as well, like, he came over and, like, no disrespect to him, but he didn't seem like he knew exactly what he was talking about. He's given it a huge budget, and he kind of blew it.
Yeah, well...
And, you know,
big difference from Sam Allardyce's time.
Yeah, true.
He
yeah.
was given zero budget. He's surprised when he gets there to the setup at first. He's thinking, this is a really nice office and these training facilities are unbelievable. And I was thinking to myself, where has he been brought? Because he referenced in an interview, he was a little bit worried about going over to Stab City, as he said, he knew the nickname at the time. And he says in a piece I read, of course, the nice facilities didn't last long because they couldn't pay the rent. I was thinking, where has he been brought in Limerick that at that stage that they had these nice... After losing the Markets Field...
Like, surely you'd notice.
Yeah, I found out. Do you know where he brought him?
Go on.
So Father Joe brought him to Thomond Park. Apparently brought him up to Thomond Park before he brought him to Rathban where they were. and do you know what his pitch was? So Big Sam obviously going, my God, this is a cracking stadium. This is unbelievable. This is better than I've played. No, Joe Young says to him, this is what it'll look like when we're finished. This is what our pitch will look like. Now let me show you the real field. And of course, Sam was good. We got there and a quote from him as he saw the Rathban and as they made do with it, we were raggy-arsed rovers and the future looked grim. I mean, I have to say, if someone did that to me, I don't think I'd take the job. He's obviously, I wouldn't say desperate, but he was obviously desperate to get involved in management and thought, look, I don't care where it is, I'll cut my teeth anywhere.
Yeah, it's probably his only option at the time. Like, it was like he probably wasn't going to get a great opportunity in England, and maybe if he doesn't, like, obviously, we all know what happened when after the end of his first season in Ireland, but like, he probably wouldn't have got the chance to maybe go on and manage a team that were going to win a league.
Well, as I said, he was doing voluntary work at that time, and really just, I believe when he came over at first, he thought about moving over like permanently, and was sort of persuaded, the story I was told anyway, was persuaded by some journalists, or a couple of journalists particularly, talking to him, look, maybe just hold off on that, because like, this is not a league, you know, the Limerick job's not something that you wouldn't say like, oh, there's like a manager that's been there for 30 years who really took the job serious. You know what I mean? The state they were in, they had, as I said, Father Joe Young running the place. The future wasn't sparkling. So he probably made the right move in not buying a house in Limerick then have to try and shift.
I think so, yeah.
Lots of stories, though, apparently, of both. Apparently himself and the chairman, Father Joe, got on like a house on fire, which it's I don't know, there's something quite Dream Team-esque about this, actually, in a way. But, you know,
don't mention Dream Team ever again, please, please.
But apparently there's stories of them going door to door looking for funds, like for sponsorship and stuff like that. It sounds like a weird, trippy dream of some sort. You know what I mean? I had a dream last night that me, Sam Allardyce, and the priest were knocking at doors. And you know what I mean? He did manage, however, to keep a pretty reasonable squad together. He kept Barry Ryan. There's a good interview of Barry Ryan. Yeah. I can't remember what website it was. Probably the 42.
The 42 was, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So he kept him. He'd won PFI Young Player of the Year the year previous when they were relegated. So it looked like he was likely to move on. A lot of teams interested in him, I think Cork notably. And Allardyce asked him to give it a year. And according to Barry Ryan, that was the main reason he stayed. He said between keeping the, you know, he said really Sam's man management. And this is probably something that's followed him his whole career. He seems to have had it since the moment he started into management, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I remember, obviously, that piece in the 42. Obviously, I remember even looking at the headline today. Was it? He made us rootless and loved a few pints with the lads. Like, it's brilliant in terms of, you know, building a team bond. Like, he knew exactly what had to be done, like, and you know,
team morale is probably even still something that he very much was he very much still up until his latest jobs was a big part of. I think you look at the reason he was able to build a decent side there at Limerick. Now they were just relegated. He managed to keep the semblance of a Premier Division squad together. So you would say, look, that's a big piece of why they went back up. But as you said, between raising morale and it's fair to say he did have an analytical and a tactical side of the game, and he still does, even though he gets a lot of guff over that. You could probably argue that passed him by, as it tends to a lot of managers in more recent years. But at Limerick back then, I imagine there's an element of that's relatively revolutionary for some of those players to be dealing with that level of professionalism. And Ryan, as you mentioned, like a lot of people that worked with Sam said, essentially he was no nonsense. He told it like it was. He fostered a really good team spirit. And as you said, when you're talking about going for pints and stuff like that, what he would do apparently is, because a lot of them would come down and then, you know, on a Saturday for training and then leave, he wanted to keep them all down. He wouldn't let them go immediately at that point back to work, whatever. Keep them all down, go for a bit of food with the team, go for drinks, apparently with fans as well. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a nice bit of morale around there.
And it actually suits a provincial club as well, in a sense. Very much. Like, I remember bringing it to a Longford perspective, Alan Matthews did the same. He, obviously, after games, when players would actually just race home after games, the players would actually stay around after a game and get to talk to the fans. And it genuinely did actually help, because the players knew what they were kind of playing for. It did the same here. And
yeah, when you think of the level of possible disconnect that would have been maybe in a poverty-stricken Limerick around that time as well. Now, to be fair, the attendances weren't great. Now, that's a first division team at that time. So I think they said most was ever about 500. It was never sort of a regular kind of thing. But he also, what I love about Sam at this time, we do have to keep in mind, he was a player manager. He wasn't just on the sideline, you know what I mean, going all professor this and that about it. A quote from Ryan in that piece is that when a few players were talking about moulded studs, and he goes to them, pointed him, you can't kick anyone with molded studs. You're like, that's the big Sam I know and love.
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest. but your behaviour was despicable. We do deserve it, yeah. Being robbed during the season with the Dublin City affair. I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time. And all I can say is, Stephen Kenny, we've won it. So go on, go back to Scotland and get lost. People are talking about Stephen Kenny's a nice guy. We don't want people like that in the league. His carry on's been absolutely outrageous.
Very strong words from Stuart Byrne there. Roddy, what do you reckon?
Well, I think he was a bit angry.
It is hard enough to find a whole lot about his team and sort of the breakdown of how they played. You can probably imagine it. I think there's a couple of notable standout results. I mean, it was, didn't we say Waterford?
Well, Waterford were second in the league.
In the league that year, just behind them. Limerick managed to grab themselves, I think I'm right in saying, a 1-1 draw. I don't think they were beaten by Waterford that year, if I'm mistaken. I think it was a couple of level draws. And interestingly enough, the draw comes quite majorly into how his season went.
Yeah, he was at 10 draws.
10 draws.
It's 10 draws. Classic Big Sam.
Oh,
isn't it?
Yeah, big time. And yeah. And you pointed out to me, a draw was 2 points back then.
No, a win was 2 points.
A win. A win was two points back then. So you think it draw just as good. Just as good.
It basically is, like, you know.
And I wonder, is that, you know, the penny dropped for Sam at that point and it never changed. It was like, draw's as good as a win, lads. Draw is as good as a win.
Exactly, and you can't lose if you don't concede.
From what I could find, they defended very much like a unit, you know, apart from Ryan, who I mentioned earlier, who was instructed pretty much, look, stay out of this, but then your job is to recover the space, or recover the ball, I should say, in the space when they'd knock it into the channels. Again, you can go to find interviews to this very day of, like, Sunderland players saying, yeah, he used to tell me, you know, stay up there, and then they'd kick it over my head, and they'd give out about, like, oh, this is such primitive football. But then they'd always go, but he was right, it worked, we got results. And that always seems to be the case with Sam Allardyce. This is a big proponent of his tactical formula that got him to where he was. And ultimately, as we said, Limerick were promoted, only lost 3 games that year. You know what I mean?
But only won 14 out of 28, so.
Or, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they...
Or 27 even. Sorry.
Yeah, they were top scorers as well. And didn't actually boast the best defensive record, which is an interesting one. Because you would go easily. They cleaned up. Sam himself, do you know how many games he played?
23, wasn't
23
it?
23 games. Three goals.
Yeah, did my homework.
Bullet headers from corners, every single one. I'm not totally sure of that, but I'm pretty confident of that. One thing I know about this time, Sam at Limerick, he and through his career, he loves to be wanted. He loves a club to want him. You know what I mean? You look at, was it Sunderland where he kept them up and they were all singing and he was like a conductor over to the crowd?
Brilliant. Yeah, see, brilliant.
You know what I mean? He loves it when someone loves him. And to be quite honest with you, Father Joe sounds like he was obsessed with the man. You know, just absolutely thought the world of him, clearly. And still does to this very day, because there was comments when O'Neill was sacked from this guy. I don't know who decided to go down and interview Father Joe Young, but they did. And he spoke to the Mirror and said, get Big Sam in as manager. He was third in line at the time. You had Mick McCarthy, Stephen Kenny, and then Big Sam. He was third in the betting, certainly, as manager. He said, the dream team, right? After O'Neill and Keane, which was a lot of people's dream team at the time, here was the Limerick dream team. Big Sam and Noel King in as assistant. That's what Joe Young said.
Yeah, but he probably would have suited Ireland at the time as well. Instead of Mick? You could make an argument for it, because they do play similar enough brands of football.
I think it would be slightly more joyless under Big Sam now, to be fair. I know a lot of people can be critical of Mick and talk about the passing midfield. I've seen games where they've failed, but tried. I could not imagine a more bleak outlook than a Noel King, Big Sam, you know, hit it and put them under pressure.
That's what we're good at, though, isn't it?
It is.
You know, lumping it forward and putting them under pressure.
We've already had a Big Jack. We can have a Big Sam as well. It's too many. But yeah, he's still in Sam's thought. He's still in Father Joe's thoughts. Apparently, the piece in the Limerick Post that said that Sam Allardyce, I should say, apologies, Father Joe is still in Sam's thoughts, because there's a piece in the Limerick Post that Allardyce apparently made contact with him to make him the honorary chaplain of West Ham. He unfortunately can't go over there, because he said, you know, an Irish priest going over there, he's quite old at this stage, as you'd imagine. But it's a nice little story, actually, to come out of that. Is something that you notice with Big Sam as well. He's quite personable. He's very much, I'd say, someone you could get on with. I think that's one of the reasons he'd have... I'll tell you what, actually. You just say about the if he'd have managed the international team, he wouldn't have been relegated from the Nations League.
True.
There's no relegations that happen under Big Sam's watch. No. Although he does sort of
over-egg. No goals are scored either. So.
That's true. He does over-egg that pudding a little bit when he talks about how his teams have done, because I believe he claimed... Now, I don't have a copy of his book, but I believe he may have claimed that he won the Premier Division, and he may have said that it was 16 points.
Well, we do all know that the First Division is actually better than the Premier Division. Yeah, well, I've had this debate with many people before.
I have no opinion on it now that Limerick are not currently exists. Apart from that, I think you can... Here's one for you. In terms of Limerick's most successful ever managers, I mean, there's an argument to be made that Big Sam is it, because look, he made it to the national team. Now, you have Owen Hand and Paddy Code in there as well. So... Yeah, look.
You're just going by one year, one trophy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, people say Big Sam never won a trophy. I think that's disrespectful to the
First Division. In particular. Yeah. I'm insulted by that.
So am I.
Yeah.
Look, greatest ever Limerick manager just asked to be part of the conversation. Like Tiger Woods always said, and yes, I am comparing Big Sam to Tiger Woods. You just have to be asked to be part of the conversation, and that's all you can do. And that's it. That's our tribute to Big Sam Allardyce.
Greatest man in
could
the
you
world.
Give him, there's no real Limerick version you could give him, you know what I mean, of Allardyce.
Allergel. Allergel.